Welcome to the Positive Disciple Podcast, where we interact and learn how to be and make disciples in our normal everyday rhythm of life by obeying Jesus and practicing the positive habits that he modeled and taught. Listen, learn, and practice.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to PD, this edition of the Positive Disciple Podcast. As always, excited to have you here and looking forward to some of the things we'll be talking about again today. Just for reminders, Positive Disciple Podcast also has a blog by the same name, Positive Disciple Blog, where you get to learn about the experiences of disciple makers in various contexts. Some of them are laboring amongst people of other faiths. Some are laboring among, you know, what a friend of ours calls urban hotspots, places where lost people congregate, and just places that are needy of the gospel. Some are laboring among university students and colleges and campuses where thoughts are formed, where, you know, generations are being molded. And we love to bring their stories to you. We love to share their experiences with you, and all built around the practices that Jesus gave us in Luke 10, 1 to 12 actually, 8 practices that we call the positive practices of a disciple maker. And today we will be talking to somebody else who is part of our team, and she has been involved in disciple making in the last couple of years, and we'll be looking at this same theme or practice of prayer again, because of its importance and the foundational necessity that prayer plays in the whole disciple making cycle. So, welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Who are you? Tell us your name and what else, anything else you want to share with us.
All right. Gina Tess Mbiru. Yeah, and I'm a disciple maker.
Okay, okay. Tess actually works with us in Activate. She's one of our team members, and we're glad to have her here share her story about prayer. So first of all, a little bit of background. How did you get involved in missions? Just brief snapshot history about, you know, why are you doing what you are doing?
Good question. I joined, or how I got even exposed to missions, was after when I was in the university. It began, I think it's been a journey, but one thing that changed my life was one time a preaching was made and the call was laying down your ambitions to take up Christ's ambitions. And after that, we got an opportunity. We were planning to go for a mission trip, the normal annual mission trip to somewhere. And another proposal came and we were taken to a place where they had not had the gospel. They actually, you know, there are people who couldn't understand Jesus by the mention of Jesus. You'd have to, it was different for me. And it was even, I felt like that was out of this world. I had been raised where there were churches all around me. So that was quite something. Coming back, got into a journey of discipleship and understanding it. And all the more my heart grew for these people. And I kept wondering, me who has known, what am I doing about it? What will I do about it? And I think in God's own process and timing, I connected to this organization because of the, I was drawn because I desired to mobilize more people to see what was happening and also to go among such people. Wow. And this is what they do. They go and they mobilize. Okay. So that's how I found myself where I am today.
Okay. Great, great. So you had an experience amongst unreached people groups.
Yes.
And got to find out that right in your own country of Kenya, there are still people who have no access to the gospel, and some have never heard about Jesus. And God used that awareness to move your heart into obedience to the Great Commission.
True.
And since then, you've been involved in making disciples. One of the tools or means or methods, I would say, that you've used in praying for people is something you call prayer scrolling.
Yes.
I think you invented that. Because we've always heard about prayer walking. We've actually done an episode of PD in the past where we talked about prayer walking. So how do you prayer scroll? Tell us about how you got into that, and yes, just give us a bit of background to that.
It began after a friend actually we were in just one of the WhatsApp groups, and she told me, just pray over the names of the people. And now it grew from just a one-time thing when I realized I could actually pray over the names of people. And when I started learning on making disciples, I began asking God, where and which people do you want me? How can I start? Who is my network? And there was one particular group where we were just a combination of people because of education and being in different universities from the same location. And I thought, why not start here? Because I had a desire to reach out to someone in that team. So I would open up the WhatsApp info part where there are names of people. Yeah. And I just pray over those names. This has been ongoing. And it's interesting, I would do that in other groups, or rather, at times I'm just going through people's statuses and I'm praying over their names.
So you would actually open your phone, as in you would, and then you'll be praying over people's names.
Yes.
How do you decide who to pray for? Because there are so many, people post statuses on their status, rather, all the time. And in your phone, you have many contacts. So, and in a WhatsApp group, depending on the size of the group, there are some groups that are hundreds, some are just few. How do you decide who to pray for?
Well, it depends. There are times when I know maybe I have a set time, I have an hour or so, I know I can go through the names, just praying in the spirit for these names and praying for these people. But there are also times when I would maybe use prayer calendar where I know particularly I'm praying for this person. So even when I open the group and I know this is the particular person, so I pray for them, reach out to them, find out how can I pray with you, do a voice note in reply, a prayer, because it's better prayed than
Yes. Wow. Okay. Have there been maybe experiences you've had that as a result of praying for somebody, you've actually seen God work, God answer that prayer? Because to me, prayer is a drudgery if I'm not seeing answers. Jesus said, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. So I can rightly imply then that if I ask, I should expect to have. God doesn't invite us to pray if he doesn't intend to answer. So if I'm not seeing answers to prayer, after a while, it could be discouraging. So have you seen answers to prayer scrolling? Have there been instances when you've actually prayed while scrolling through your contacts list or WhatsApp group or status, and you've seen God do something that you could say, hey, that's an answer to my prayer scrolling?
I think 2 days ago I was thinking about this, because I began prayer scrolling on this particular group that I mentioned last year. And my main desire was to get a connection with these people that I would talk to, people that I would disciple.
Yeah.
One of the people in a group that I've been working with came from that group. We never used to speak.
Wow.
I don't know her. I've not met her in person.
Okay.
But now she's part of a discipleship team that I have.
Wow.
So I just connect that to prayer, because it's just out of prayer. And then I began getting opportunities to share, and then we extended relationship beyond that. Mm. Now she can call me and tell me there's a need, and I can minister to that need. Mm. I have found a friend now.
So God creates connections because you pray.
Yes.
Somebody who needed to be discipled, and because you were in the place of prayer scrolling, friendships are created, opportunities to disciple people actually happen. And because in some of our WhatsApp groups that people belong to, you have all kinds of people. Some are saved, some are followers of Jesus, some aren't. Some are either followers of other faiths, some are openly opposed to anything that has to do with Christ. So how would you advise some of us who are in some of those kind of groups, in terms of actually developing the habit of praying, especially for people in those groups who are not followers of Jesus?
The first thing that was very strong in me is that the Lord loves them all, and the Lord, and they are all part of the harvest that he spoke about. Yeah. When he looked and he saw the harvest, they are part of it. So when he says he saw the harvest and was filled with compassion, they are part of it. They are worried, they are stressed, they are distressed. Yes. So if we see them in that way, we will actually be moved to pray for them. Secondly, realize that they are in need.
Yes.
But they don't know who to talk to.
Hmm.
And on the connection, it's God who connects.
Yes.
But if you're not praying,
yeah,
how will they be connected to you?
Hmm.
And another thing I have realized, because I have now met people out of this particular group who outrightly say, don't tell me about church, don't tell me anything about it.
Okay.
But when you invite them to a journey of discovery,
yes,
they are open, they are excited.
Okay.
And they actually start realizing, one of them began posting,
yeah,
I now understand why Jesus said we make disciples.
Oh. So there are people who would, on a WhatsApp group, for example, will say, don't post religious things here. I belong to some of those kind of groups, all right? But if you have a side chat with them, they are looking for opportunities to actually talk to somebody.
Yes.
Interesting. So we have not just lost people, but lonely people.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
And prayer scrolling is a way of keeping your heart sensitive to knowing who to talk to, who God wants to link with you or link you with, for the purposes of helping them becoming followers of Jesus in a manner that they have discovered for themselves.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Now, what would you say? We're still talking about prayer scrolling. Can prayer scrolling be done in a group, in a physical group, assuming we are 3, 4, 5 of us seated together, we all pull out our phones? Are there other, you know, innovative ways by which this can be used to engage more people in prayer scrolling?
Anything that God made is meant to multiply.
Yeah.
So it has to go beyond one person. Let's say a group has met,
yes,
2, 3 people, 4 people, and we decide, now let's make good use of our phones,
yes,
and our WhatsApp,
uh-huh,
and let's go through and take time to just pray over things and maybe be specific. You know, you can say, maybe, by the way, in this particular group, I've been thinking about how can I see a difference, how can I be able to find someone, a
yes,
person of peace,
yes,
and you intentionally
yeah,
pray over that as a team together. Each person is praying over that particular group, or you're praying for each other, but you know who you're praying for. I'm praying for this group. Its name is this. It's my class alumni,
yes,
of 20 something, and we are praying over this.
Wow. So this can be done anywhere. All you need is a phone.
Yes.
With lots of contacts in it.
Yes.
It doesn't cost you any money. Yeah. You don't even have to be online, because those contacts are saved on your phone. I think what you need the most is just a heart for God's will to be done in the lives of people, especially those who don't know him. Wow. So you've been able to connect your prayer scrolling activity to disciple making, in the sense that God has actually linked you with people that you are now discipling.
Just to add to that,
yes,
in my current groups, any group that's a follow group, like,
yes,
a group where we are journeying together,
yeah,
till now, I just open and pray over their names as they appear there.
So it's not just using prayer scrolling to find people that you could possibly connect with for spiritual engagement, to engage in spiritual conversation, but even people who already are in a discipling relationship with you, that is one way you ensure you pray for them.
Yes.
Because you can't be discipling people that you are not praying for. Jesus prayed for his disciples all the time. One time he told Peter, you know, Satan has asked of you that he may sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. And then again, repeatedly in John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus, he says, he was telling the Father, I pray for these men whom you've given to me. So Jesus was constantly praying for his disciples. So would you say that prayer scrolling is one way to ensure that if you do have a group, the assumption is that you have a group that you have their names stored on your phone. It's one way to ensure that you actually are praying for your disciples by name.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. Now, talking about prayer generally, what are some other, besides prayer scrolling, because I'm sure that's not the only way you pray.
Yeah.
What are some other prayer practices that you have found helpful as a disciple maker? What are things you do that keep you on the path of growing as a praying person, wanting to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord, wanting to be obedient to the command, the invitation to pray, and the command to make disciples? Are there other things, other practices that you do as a disciple maker?
I would think about writing down my prayers.
Okay.
Yes.
That's prayer journaling.
Yes.
What do you do in that regard? How do you do that? And why is that helpful to you?
I enjoy writing my thoughts. Okay. I enjoy writing what I'm learning, yes, or something that I'm processing.
Yeah.
And I find it very conversational when I do it, when I just sit down and I began writing out prayers to God, even in regard with people that I'm working with. It also helps me to keep track of what God is doing. I recently was going through some of my journals and I laughed and I was in awe seeing how God has answered prayers that I just wrote and they are answered.
Yeah.
And I was even talking with another person who has come into, we are now working together, and I was telling her, I can give you my journal, and when you read, you will see grace, because you will see prayers I've made and you will see answers to them.
Wow.
So that's one of
the key ones.
And I also pray when I'm doing my chores.
Okay.
Yes, when I'm cooking.
Yeah.
I just take it as a time to also think through. Interestingly, I tend to have a lot of thoughts as at that time, and I can be able to pray and talk to God about people I'm working with, talk about my own life, hear him instruct me in such times. I also find that very fulfilling for me.
So, praying while cooking, praying while doing virtually any other thing. So prayer is not just a monologue where you sit in one spot and you have to be, you have to kneel down or sit. Nothing wrong with those, but that's not the only way to pray.
Yes.
When you talked about prayer journaling just a moment ago, it just occurred to me that most of the book of Psalms, we're reading somebody's prayer journal.
Yeah.
many of those Psalms are David pouring out his heart to God, but he wrote them down. He didn't just speak them. He had a prayer journal, which has been published over many centuries. And so writing down prayers, a very powerful way to capture, the heart of God and your communication with God, and also to see how, like you said, God has been answering prayer. So that's been intentional, isn't it?
Yes. You have to. And maybe to add into that,
yeah,
is also praying scripture, but personalizing it and writing it down. I at times take those prayers, the Psalms of David, and I'm like, he would say, "You're my rock and my refuge," but I'm writing and I'm saying, "You are my rock and refuge."
Insert your name there.
I insert my name there. And whatever discoveries are coming, I turn them into prayer and I write them on my journal.
Wow.
So that's something else I just add into my prayer.
Amazing. Great. Now, as we bring this episode of PD to a close, do you have any practical tips, aside from prayer scrolling, of course, because I know that's something you would, and I would recommend to disciple makers and people who really want to just deepen their walk with God and involve praying for others as a lifestyle. But besides prayer scrolling, are there other practical tips that you would want to share with those listening about how to grow in personal prayer?
Wow, thank you. I would say, number one, just consider it as communion with a loving father, intimacy with a loving groom, as a bride.
Wow.
And every time I get into even the place, or rather, maybe it's a morning and I wake up, I'm, good morning, what do we have in store today?
Wow, that's a prayer.
That's a prayer. And from there, the journey begins into where he will lead. I would encourage praying the scriptures.
Okay.
You've done your quiet time, you are reading a devotional, or you are reading the book of Matthew chapter 1. What are things that you've discovered? Okay. Can you turn them into prayer as of that very, very time? Ask God to help you to apply it. It's, you're growing your prayer life in itself. again, don't be afraid to tell God, teach me how to pray. Mm. It's a prayer. And as you make that prayer, he's constantly helping you to pray and leading you to pray. But what I would say, be intentional in setting time and knowing that this is like a covenanted hour that I will actually spend time. But again, don't go through the day without praying. Mm. Pray when you're working, pray when you're walking.
Yeah.
But mainly, scripture, writing down prayers, and then praying consciously, even when you're doing other things, just to know he's listening and having it as a conversation.
Wow. So conversational prayer that is rooted in relationship. You mentioned just a moment ago, talking to a loving father and engaging with a groom intimately. That's relationship. It's not a chore. Prayer is not a task to fulfill. It's a relationship. Great. I think we've talked quite a bit about prayer scrolling. And as you develop in your practice of prayer scrolling, I'll be so excited to hear more of what God is doing. And I'm sure our listening audience as well would love to, participate in prayer scrolling, but also hearing from you how this is impacting your ministry as a disciple maker. Wonderful. So we've come to the end of today's episode of Positive Disciple, where we examine the practices that Jesus instructed his disciples to be involved in as they make disciples. The first thing he said in Luke 10:2, he says, "The harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers." Prayer is a lifestyle, and we are so excited to be able to bring to you a few of the young people that are deeply engaged and are practitioners of these principles on the field of ministry. And we look forward to having to share more with you again. Quick reminders, we have a Telegram group, Telegram channel, where we send out daily prayer points on missional issues, mission-related issues, not only in Activate, but through other mission organizations and other people that are doing credible work in the vineyard of the Lord. We'll be putting the link to that Telegram channel together with this podcast. Click on that, and it will take you into that group where you can receive daily prayer points and information, prayer alerts as well, delivered straight to your device where you have the Telegram app. Awesome. So this is Mark once again, and we bring this meeting to a close and look forward to seeing you again next episode. Bye.
Bye.
We hope you have been equipped in positive discipleship. Stay tuned for our next podcast and be sure to leave us a comment on what you are learning and doing to follow Jesus and make disciples wherever you are.